everyone. Pastor Deborah here. And welcome again to another wonderful, wonderful spiritual teaching for you. We are still in the Spiritual Multitudes, the big book that I wrote years ago, trying to understand you so that I could help you the Lord's way. I didn't know at the time, probably back in 1995, how extensive my studying would be, how many tests and trials I would have to take, and how much I did not know. But I began on the course when I decided to set down my license as a mental health counselor in the state of Florida and nationally clinically certified as a clinical mental health counselor in the United States of America. I had been sitting on the National Association of Mental Health Counselors boards on three of their powerful leadership committees. One, I was the chair of the nominating committee for future officers. Second, I was on the public policy and legislative committee. And I would travel freely to Washington, D.C., meet with other committee members, and we would go lobby our senators and congressmen in the halls of Congress. At that time, mental health counselors were just sort of coming on the scene in the 50 states. Some states had called them licensed professional counselors. And we were trying to get recognition from our master's level classes and courses, and our state legislatures to receive insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, so we could get money from helping you in a therapy session. We were trained, educated to be medical diagnostic technicians, sort of speaking. We sat in the medical quality assurance department of our state. We had to know a lot of medical terminology. We worked out of the medical book called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM. I think when I started, we may have been in the DSM-3, and by the time that I put my license down, we were up to the DSM-4, I believe. In the insurance world of how you get paid, every illness, every disease, every test is given a number. We are in a medical profession. We are under the medical quality assurance. So I had to learn numbers. If you were being depressed, feeling anxious, it had a number that we would relate to the insurance company. And that is how the insurance company was told what kind of condition you had that I was treating. The condition was called a disease, an illness, and only properly educated and licensed people as a mental health counselor or a licensed professional counselor or a licensed clinical social worker could diagnose you what your problem was by listening to you and then providing proper medical treatment. We had to carry about $1 million of malpractice insurance. We had to do a lot of continuing education. So we were highly trained and educated. But in all of that, with about 5 years of postgraduate from a college of education, I knew nothing about helping you the Lord's way. I knew nothing really of the spirit realm, the forever person, you, and how prayers and spiritual bondage happen. I knew nothing about deliverance and healing spiritually. I knew nothing about the relationship between the spirit and the soul that resides in our physical body. I had so much to learn. There was no college classes I could take, so I had to read true stories, biographies, books, poems, watch true movies, and to learn about many different things in order to help you the Lord's way. And I want to come and say thank you to Zoom Pro. That is who I am recording through. And I'm using a still picture from, looks like, Google Free Clip Art or Pixabay Motion Videos. I'll be adding some free music from the video editing program I use called Wondershare. This video is going to help us understand us in prayer, because we're in the section of the book Spiritual Multitudes. Agape Love, The Greatest Gift, Volume Number 3. And we are working through prayers for deliverance and healing. Usually, once you get some education, knowledge, truth about your condition, what is causing you to be feeling the way you are? What is controlling your life? What lies and deceptions have you listened to, have been rooted in you and grown up? What traditions of men and culture are your driving force that you serve and worship? In this video teaching, we're going to pick up with more prayers for deliverance and healing that we have discovered has affected us, our family, for generations. In this book, we've learned a lot about ourselves and others. So we're now coming slowly to the conclusion of the Spiritual Multitudes. We've had a volume 1, a volume 2, and we're in volume 3. And it's about agape love, the greatest gift. So let's first open up with prayer, and so we can set our hearts and minds in that place where we need to be for this video. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always with us, that your manifestation on planet Earth of your great and powerful agape love, you yourself, was seen on a cross. When a young man went there, your Lamb, whose name was Christ Jesus. Some people call him Jesus the Christ or just Jesus. He was your Lamb, your sacrifice to take away the sins of the world for every human, every unborn child, every grandma and grandpa. It didn't matter what they did, every human, for generations and generations and on into eternity. We thank you, Father, that you love us so much, you sent your greatest gift, agape love, inside of a dirt body. And once we could see that you also sent your love through nature, through all of creation, we begin to understand that you are love. It is your nature, it's your essence, it's your perfume you wear. It's in every cell of your body, if you have one. Father, we thank you that you are now helping us to get free, delivered from our past, our ancestors' past, as you have opened up and brought education to us called light and truth. We thank you. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for the healing. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to pick up in, as we said, prayers for deliverance and healing. I always put the word deliverance first before the word healing. Many, many times you must be delivered before you can be healed. How I like to use an example is if you have a wound in your body, and it gets infected. The wound cannot heal until the infection has been cleared up and has been destroyed. Then the body's biological systems can begin the healing process of the wound. It's sort of a two-step process. Healing sometimes can be quick. I've had that. Sometimes it is long. I've had that. Deliverance can be done in many different ways. When I was in mental health counseling, we didn't talk about deliverance. We talked about healing from the past. We talked about healing from angry and fearful emotions. But we never heard about deliverance. Deliverance is a spiritual word that is used in the spiritual realm. But first we need deliverance. Then we need healing. In the last video, we had worked through some prayers, and we're going to continue doing that. Because then we are speaking to the one in the middle of the cross. He's not there anymore. He was brought down from the cross, put in a grave, a tomb, stayed there for about 3 days, and then he arose. He is now seated in the heavenly kingdom of heaven on the right hand of his Father. He is considered a great prince, and he is waiting for his bride, the church, all of humanity, to arise, get born again, grow up, so he can consummate a marriage and intimacy, and we can all come back to earth. It's not a male-to-male relationship. All of our spirits are non-gender. When God uses a lot of sexual illustrations, terminology, he's talking about a deep spiritual intimacy, relationship between him and us, between our spirit and our soul. It can be understood by the flesh through sexual images, descriptions, genders. But this young man, as you see here, he has come to the cross. He's bowed his head, and he is in prayer. When you are in prayer and seeking forgiveness, deliverance, healing, there is always a light around you, spiritually. And it is glowing because you are now in the atmosphere, spiritually, of love. Even as you speak, love is working. When you turn your head to the cross, where Christ Jesus the Lamb died for you, and you speak to him, who then passes it to his Father, and his Father hears your words. Sometimes there are no words to describe our condition. We just moan. We're silent in our soul and our spirit. There might be tears. There might not be any tears. God is aware of each one of your conditions, spiritually and in your soul. He knows if you're one or if you're many. He knows what happened to you in the womb, in infancy, childhood. He knows everything. His heart breaks for most of humanity. He has to turn away from us in our cruelty to each other. He has to wait sometimes for death to take you, for you to find the kingdom he lives in of love, joy, and peace. I just saw that in a wonderful historical Chinese drama called Gone with the Rain. It was about a general who had grown up with bandits, no parents, and he was trying to get the nation under that country under a certain king, emperor, to be righteous. The prime ministers, the leaders of the country were unrighteous people, and he was trying to get back righteousness so there would be peace in the land. But he was considered a bad guy. He was considered a rebel and a traitor. There were so many forces working against him. The prime minister, business people, probably even the emperor himself. He was a tough man, But he was also seeking something, love. Found a young girl who had grown up without her parents, was considered illegitimate, brought up in a brothel, was not considered a decent individual. They eventually fell in love. In order for the bad guys, we'll call them, the ministers, the prime ministers, the business people, who didn't want to become righteous, they killed him, at least him. And the most touching part of the video was upon his death. He fell on top of this woman because a building was coming down. They were under attack. He had a soldier's heart that he would die to protect his country and the ones he loved. And as they were both laying there in the rubble, they went into the realm of the spirit. They were walking on a road. They were spirits. Were finally free of control of the world that they had grown up in. They were walking together, happy, talking about traveling all over the world. Now their bodies were laying in a collapsed shed with fire all around them, both sort of knocked out. As they were walking, they were holding hands. And then he pulled his hand out of her hand. And he walked on and looked back with a smile. And her spirit knew he had died and was gone at that moment. She was not. And it was a beautiful way of ending this life of this general. But his spirit was finally free to walk, to be at peace. He had fought good battles for righteousness, but he was misinterpreted. He had no parents. He grew up with bandits. He was beaten and bullied. He'd been in the army since he was probably 8 years old. He wanted to love. Didn't really know how. He finally found this young girl named Moxie, who couldn't decide if she loved him for a long time because she had a love, we'll call it a teenage love, for another. But she was considered to be not a good girl, illegitimate, no good family, brought up in a brothel. She would not be appropriate to marry into a decent family. Well, these two found each other. And the final scene was so touching. When this general walked off into the realm of the spirit, he had died to save his love. He had died doing righteous deeds, even though it was in war, to bring peace and safety to a nation. He was now free spiritually, and he was walking away from her. She was still alive. Brought tears to my eyes and still does. But sometimes God of the cross has to wait to give you what your heart is desiring until death comes. And death is going to come to all of us one way or the other, some in the womb, some in infancy, childhood, teenage years. And we live horrible lives. And yet we have desires. So this video, a spiritual teaching of agape love, the greatest gift, is to help us get delivered spiritually. So healing can come to our spirit, to our soul, and probably to areas in your physical body. So let's pick up where we left off. And we're going to open up with prayer like this young man. To Father, the Most High God. Dear Father, spiritually free me and this family. And for 10,000 generations back and to come yet, of all spiritually seducing strongholds of Satan. When you do deliverance prayers, you're going against curses of our ancestors. Bondage spiritually. against Satan, the king of the kingdom of darkness, and his evil, wicked spirits, who are all trying to get inside of us to control us as the Holy Spirit is supposed to. And through our spirit and our soul and our helpmate, our biological body, rule this planet called Earth. We are but pawns in Satan's hands. If he disapproves of us, he kills us. So here in this prayer, we're going to pray for getting deliverance from seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits, these strong men, and these strongholds in our lives, they seduce us. They seduce me and this and my family, unknown to us, away from your agape love and its pureness and its holiness and righteousness. For the spiritual seducers, they call me, they draw me, they attract me, they woo me, they bribe me, they lure me away from your right path, your purposes for me in your kingdom of heaven on earth, from your words of spirit and truth, of knowledge that can make me free from the slavery to sin and its sting, spiritual death, separation from you and your delight and your righteousness and your pleasure and your house and your family and the kingdom. I just learned and I'll teach you here how Satan, the seducing spirit of strongholds, works. Satan will set up a nation, give the leaders powerful ideas. There's nothing wrong with the ideas. And the nation wants to be a global leader in something and attract people and investments. Nothing wrong with that. But in them doing that, they attract people from other nations to their country. They are the carrot that's leading. They are the little dangly thing that are drawing and seducing people from all over the world to their nation. Then what happens? All these righteous people come. All these people with money, businesses come. And in their hearts, they want to be entertained. They want the pleasure of sex and love. They want to be seduced. So here comes the seducers. But it's not free. It costs money. So what happens? The strongholds of seducing spirits will not only seduce a nation and its leaders to build and create educational programs, science, technology, and give them the desire to be number one, a showcase, and that will attract other people, will attract money. And then in comes the people and the money. Well, now the human heart will be seduced. These people have not yet been transformed. They still lust after sex, beauty. They want their body to be filled with pleasure. So in come the toys, the girls and the boys. And in this wonderful nation, maybe, it's supposed to be so righteous and holy, sex abounds, lust, prostitution, human trafficking. The money that these people make or bring into the nation goes somewhere else. But that is not the goal. Satan's goal is to keep the human heart lusting after human sexual pleasures. even though they might be the executive of a computer company, a scientist, a doctor. We just had a report here that our FBI in the United States of America have arrested a lot of prostitutes in brothels around the capital of the United States of America, and has realized that many of their customers were politicians, bankers, military officers, generals, lawyers, people with money, position, and power. You can have all the positions and the power, the money you want, but if your heart, your mind, is still seduced, lusting, wanting physical pleasure, what your eyes want to look at, beautiful, glorious, sexual things, you want the pleasure of the touch, you want to be sort of loved by beauty, you are in the hands of a stronghold, a strong man of seduction. And that was in just today's news here in America. So you have to be careful. You have to know that your nation can be used, and you don't even have a clue. You can think that your nation is righteous by offering all of these wonderful technologies, being a hub for visitors, with no knowledge of the seducing stronghold that you are, and how unrighteous hearts and hearts that are not submitted to the God of the King James Bible, and how they can fall into sexual pleasures, give their hard-earned money to other nations. A lot goes on behind the scenes, I had to learn. So here in this stronghold of seducing spirits, we're in prayer for us, in our hearts, in our flesh, to be free spiritually of the connections, the control, the blind spell that's on us, that seduces us into unrighteousness, maybe seduces us into crime, entice us with beauty and trinkets and gold and pleasures. So you could be the president or the crown prince or the king of a nation, and your heart is not right. It could be broken and not feeling loved. So this prayer here is that we are praying to be free, and our ancestors and our children and great-grandchildren to come, that they would be free of this seducing spirit, the strong men that draw us away, woo us, bribe us, lure us away from the right path, from your purposes of holiness and purity that you have for us, and for my purpose here on planet Earth, and for the kingdom of heaven. We are seduced and lured away from your words, your truth, your knowledge that can make me free from the slavery to sin. Sin is simply trespassing the law, the righteousness of God, of Christ Jesus, not any other God. And death, that means spiritual separation from God and you, the God of the Holy Bible, is its sting that will that comes in with the blade of seducing. When the blade comes in and we are seduced, we're put under a spell, we can't see correctly, we interpret everything with darkened eyes and understanding. And we pass this spiritual gene, these spiritual seducing spirits, familiar spirits they're called, onto our children. When I pass away, if I have anything in me like that, it goes to one of my children or all of them. They stay in the family because they've got an open spot that we don't know about. These seducing spirits have wooed us and separated us from you, the great creator, the source of agape love. We've been separated from your delight, your pleasure, your house, your family, the kingdom of heaven, through these seducing spirits. Father, I have learned that these spiritual strongmen of the kingdom of darkness, of ignorance, have been secretly and silently drawing me, wooing me, seducing me into the world where my spiritual heart and mind and my soul to desire its things, not yours, and to become a spiritual enemy to you and your royal law of agape love. Another incident that I can show you is we are seduced away from loving your neighbor as yourself, from thou shalt not kill, to believing that it's a woman's right to decide if she wants to have a baby or not, and blaming men for controlling their pregnancy. So the seduction is we have a right, a female, to kill the baby if we want to, and you as the public should pay for it. We've been seduced by concepts, ideas, that we have rights. It's men against women. It's women above children. We have become a death machine. We are instruments of death for innocence. We have become, so to speak, the guillotine. We are the hands evil, wicked, spiritual things against children, innocence, the next generation. There's plenty of precautions you could take so you won't get pregnant. The men can take them. The women can take them. But for some reason, they don't want to. A baby is conceived. An egg and a sperm come together. You can do an egg and a sperm in a petri dish. But the body and the soul loves sexual pleasures, the touch. It loves the intimacy. So conception occurs. And then after that event, reality sets in. And they want it gone. And so they become an instrument. The baby becomes a sacrifice. Blood is spilt so another can live. And that is just sort of a seducing act, a spirit at work, causing us to believe one thing and to carry out deeds and acts that hurt something else. So in our prayer, this young man is continuing to speak. And it says that these spiritual strongmen, called the seducing spirits of the kingdom of darkness, have been secretly and silently drawing me into the world of lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, where my spiritual heart and mind and soul, where I desire its things, and I become a spiritual enemy to you and your royal law of agape love. Father, I have been spiritually seduced to desire the world's affection, the world's way of love, attention, goodies, stuff, blessings, legacies, publicity, and not you or anything that you have. Father, I am beginning to understand that these spiritual strongmen have spiritually brought me and my family into spiritual defilement. Please, Father. Our Father is God the Most High, the Father of the Lamb, the Father of Christ Jesus. Spiritually free me, deliver me and my family from the worlds of the kingdom of darkness, strong men of whoredoms. And Father, these spiritual strong men have spiritually brought me and this family into spiritual defilement. Father, through the seducing spirits, through many generations, I have been drawn astray. I believe lies. I've been under spells of bewitchment. My eyes do not see clearly. My ears do not hear the truth. My mind has been planted and seeded with lies and corruption, lust. I can't look at anything without lusting, wanting, craving. Father, these seducing spirits are strong and powerful in me. They draw me away spiritually from you. They keep me trapped, living in hopelessness, loneliness, fear, and torment. And they keep me, the soul and the physical body, seeking and searching. I become an addict. I'm seduced to want things that I do not need. I become obsessed with pleasure, obsessed with winning. And they have found what seduces me. They know me better than I know myself. They know my thoughts. So help me and this family to be free of seducing spirits, of strongholds, their spells, their words, the lust. Help me to be free. Deliver me from these spiritual wicked things of the kingdom of darkness. And then bring healing to my spirit, soul, and physical body. Father, help me that when I am tested and tried, and they're trying to bring back these seducing spirits into my life, that I will recognize them, and I will rebuke them, and I will see that I'm in a test. And I must be able to stand and hold, to look away, even when my body is craving the pleasure, the delight of intimacy, sexual pleasure. When I'm beginning to lust in the eyes, lust of the flesh, when my pride is risen up, help me. Help me to do battle against these seducing spirits, that I may be free and my family from these ancient spiritual evil ones from the kingdom of darkness, and that righteousness and agape love will begin to rule and reign in my spirit, my soul, and physical body. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. You can follow along with this young man and pray the same thing. Recognize that we have an enemy out there and he's trying to seduce us, woo us away from the right path, from righteousness, from agape love, of loving your neighbor as yourself. He understands human nature better than we do. Most of us live oblivious to him and what's happening in the world. We think we're doing something right and it's being used as a carrot, a seducing thing, a spell to lure others in to a wrong path. He'll use nations and leaders. He'll use the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life because that is what Satan did. He lusted after things that were not his. He lusted for pleasure. His nature is a seducing spirit. And he's after us. He's after you. So you have to know that. You have to know that if that seducing spirit's in your life, what it causes you to do doesn't work alone. Works with a familiar spirit, spirit of whoredom, spirits of death and lies, many others, to keep you away from agape love, away from the cross, away from the God of King James, the God of ancient Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wants to keep you in the flesh. He wants to keep you in the soul and to keep your spirit in spiritual death, separation from agape love himself. But there's hope for you. If you prayed that prayer, God will begin to work in your life because he desires to set you free and then bring healing. But you too have to first recognize that you have been in bondage spiritually, that you have been held captive in unrighteousness, and that all your things that you do are not right with God. Even though you're a big political leader, a business owner, a judge, teachers, parents, imams, pastors, leaders, we all lust. We all have a physical body. And it's war every single day for us. You can't make excuses what we do. We're being seduced. We have an enemy. And they are attacking. Their goal is to take us captive. Use us as their own people, their spies. And to go against the kingdom of heaven and its righteous people. Pastor Deborah is of the kingdom of heaven. I am under attack a lot. Even in a shopping store, you'll look at people, even through the Chinese dramas. I have to look at kissing saints, intimate saints, and see the intimacy of God, and how it is a shadow of the intimacy of God. It's not that God is having sex with us, but God is trying to explain to us how agape love works in our spirit, what it is to our spirit, and how deep his love is for us. And you have to learn that he's first our Father, and then he will be our Lord. He will teach us and disciple us so that we may become righteous rulers of the kingdom of heaven on earth for him, bringing agape love and its flag of the kingdom of heaven to earth in the hearts of humanity. So you be encouraged. There's help for you to be delivered and then healed. And that's what we're learning about agape love, that it's so powerful that you can go alone in prayer and ask God to forgive you. Once you recognize that these seducing spirits, that Satan is at work in your life, and that you have been drawn astray, and your family, and you are being used for his purposes, not for agape love's purposes. So be encouraged. There's hope for you. You're not alone down here. Agape love has been here since day one. He is here to help you. He's not against you. He doesn't like what you do and think. And that person that you are is going to go through an experience. You're going to come to a cross. Get on it yourself, the old you. Pass away and be reborn a new creature in Christ that's never existed before. You'll be a baby. You'll need Pastor Deborah as your mama. Healings must come from the childhood trauma. because you got an eternity to go yet. Life will end for you, short or long, on planet Earth, in this body. And you'll begin a new life, either up in the kingdom of heaven or down. If you go down to what we call hell, I'll come and get you. Because you have to hear words of truth and light, of salvation, redemption, forgiveness. And then you must accept it. Then you'll get translated into the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be a baby. Lots of teaching going on in heaven. Because you have to learn a lot. There's going to be a new earth one day. This earth that we're on is going to be folded up like an old garment. I don't know if this is true, but I think our sun is going to explode maybe one day. Burn up this whole universe that we're in. Take all the planets. And while all that's happening, all of humanity will be up in heaven. We'll be getting our recognition, our new clothes, getting rewarded or sent to outer darkness. And then a new earth will come. Not only a physical body, but a new planet to go to. And we'll start all over again. Because this God of agape love is going to get what he wants. A kingdom on a planet with his kids, ruling and reigning as kings. And that brings glory to the great I Am of the kingdom of heaven. So be encouraged. There's hope for you to get delivered and healed. Bye.